Hey, my dad died. I could have bought him a nice headstone with that money. We could have put him something other than a Tupperware box.
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Oh. Hello. This is the Lesbian Mad Wine Scene. I have food allergies, along with an occasional allergy to life. I'm from yeastradio.com, and I have two ladies that co-host with me every week, and we rotate who is the active host. We're like The View, only more boring, contrary to what our catchphrase says on the iTunes store. First, I will introduce, well, let me do a coin toss to see who goes first, because I don't want to be unfair. Heads is Vera, tail is Wander.
I like
tail.
Oh,
it's, who is heads?
I was.
Vera.
Vera of VeraSpeaks.com, who just came back from the world's tackiest vacation. She was in an RV for her birthday and in Las Vegas all at the same goddamn time.
All at the same time. Hello, ladies and lovies. And you are sounding particularly New York Jew-ess today, darling. Is there any reason?
Well, no, it's just that I've been inspired by watching Grey Gardens 1,000 times. And even though it's really not a New York accent, it just made me feel more at home to my humble roots.
Okay, introduce Wanda, and then we'll talk more about Grey Gardens.
My co-host, again, is, and I'm senile, Wanda Wisdom of WandaWisdom.com, a rapidly rising star in the Minneapolis area.
Oh. Were you introducing me?
Yes.
I completely got sidetracked. Somebody...
Oh my God!
Hello
star
there.
Of stage. Let me do it again. Star of stage, screen, and blue panties when she's cooking. Wanda Wisdom.
Why? Thank you. And they're actually turquoise.
Pardon me, turquoise.
Turquoise. That's the French.
You should be honored because my most recent show was the album art was completely devoted to your blue panties. Did you
what,
happen
who?
To see it?
Who was, who, what?
My album art from the most recent Yeast Radio is called,
Oh, no. Did you?
No,
really?
I didn't. Cheryl wanted me to, but I didn't.
Thank you.
But, no, I didn't. I knew you posted it publicly, but I said there's no reason why she meant to
needs
do that.
Needs more attention.
But look at the album art.
I did
Isn't
see
that cute?
I
Isn't
love
that.
Oh.
Blue kitchen panty pooping, because audience... For the audience
How
who doesn't
know... How do
you
all pay attention? I didn't realize...
Cheryl pays attention to everything. I would never have known that. But the thing is, this is how it came up, funnily, if that's a word. I was talking about how I sharted in my panties the other day, coming home from a meeting. I sharted myself, and Cheryl said, what color panties were they? I said, well, they were blue, and I had just got them from the Gap. She said, you mean like one turds? And I said, what are you talking about? She said, let me show you. And then she sent me the twit
pic.
And I said, what in the Christ is she doing with a spatula? She said, oh, she's making pancakes with her blue panties.
Do you know that I got in so much trouble on the radio for that? Thank you very much. Because somebody sent an email to... I do this radio show that a friend does daily. I do it on Thursdays for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend sent him an email and said, I think you need to check out this photo. And then he outs me on the radio, much to my chagrin.
That's your friend from the Fox.
The Fox. Jason Matheson.
Yes. Yes.
So
that's
I've been
why I
outed
said star
and
of stage and screen. Because
I've been taught a lesson, very important lesson.
Now, then, having learned the lesson, let me ask you a question. Is the picture now offline?
No, it's still there.
Okay. We really learned a lesson. Vera, do you have any questions about said blue panties and or sharding?
I have
Has
no
she seen the picture?
I have no idea what either one of you are talking about.
I don't know what's so hard to understand. I shat blue panties, and Wanda posed posted a picture of herself wearing nothing but blue panties and a spatula because they're her cooking
would
panties.
Would you send me that picture via Skype so I can see?
Wanda can. I will not do that.
Wanda, would you do me that? I would love to see you in just your panties and a spatula.
Yep. Will you send it to her?
Something just beeped, so maybe let me look. Hold, please.
Okay,
we need
a reaction. Reaction.
Well, I'm looking, please. I need my glasses because I'm older now. Holy crap, too. Is that really you?
Yes.
Wow. You got it going
on,
baby.
I look good in my blue panties. Okay.
How did your junk not fall out of those little things?
Well, because it got a basket.
God, you used to be so round. And now you're angular.
It got a little pouch in the front, you know, like those thugs wear.
Sure, I understand the pouch, but doesn't your scrotum leak?
What?
Doesn't your scrotum leak from the pouch? How do you get your scrotum to stay in there?
I don't have like a abnormally large scrot.
Yeah, you're young. I'm just thinking because my lips, if it were me, and I'm just thinking in terms of vaginal lips, my lips... Sort of like Cheryl Murkowski.
I question the spatula. Is it
right?
Is
exactly.
It an
now that's where we're at.
Artistic
that's
point.
That's called art.
Oh, okay. Then
they're
I know.
Her
actually,
panties. Read the comments.
Because what I said was, see, this all happened because I. Okay, now here's the real reason I put on the panties. Somebody bought me those for my birthday from my program,
program.
One of my listeners on my program. And I told him that I would take a photo, and so I just took a photo of them, and then I happened to be making an omelet while I was wearing them. And so I Twittered, or I Facebooked, I'm making an omelet in my turquoise panties.
An ermlet.
Yeah.
See, this is why I was talking with a friend today about this. This is why the Twitter and the Facebook are so very dangerous.
Why?
Because
people
that.
Have to look. Because
you end
things.
Up with your blue panties all over the place.
Oh, that ain't a bad thing, though. I don't think. But
now, do you always cook in the morning in your undergarments, or?
It depends. I don't cook nude. That's for sure.
Now what? But somebody was saying
it's a good
something
thing you
about
don't fry
bacon.
Yeah, you don't fry bacon. Oh my
god.
Yeah,
you would not want to fry no. But I don't like. Do you think I'm going to have that body if I'm eating bacon?
Yes.
If you're eating it wisely, you can eat anything if you eat it in moderation.
That's true. I eat whatever I want, and I lost some of the weight.
You know that at Trader Joe's, they have the nitrite-free bacon, which is
Trader Joe's. I don't know about this.
Nitrites turn into nitrose. Every cured...
Nitrous oxide.
Okay, let me explain. Every cured meat... Ham, bacon, lunch meat. If you look on the label, you'll find down towards the end sodium nitrite. It's a preservative. Nitrites, when they are ingested into your body, turn into what are called nitrosamines, and nitrosamines are horribly carcinogenic. So it's really good to not eat anything with sodium nitrite in it, and... Trader Joe's has, because every bacon in the world has sodium nitrite in it, Trader Joe's has bacon that is sodium nitrite free.
How do they do that?
I don't know. They preserve it some other way. They don't use the nitrites, and so they don't turn... Huh?
I just sent you a picture to analyze.
Oh.
It's a picture of a bullfighter with a rather large bulge that's kind of got some duty on it. I want you to look at that.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Somehow modified?
No, I don't think so. There's these two brothers. They did a 60 Minutes
about
them.
Why didn't I get
it? Yes, you did. It's in the chat room. Oh, no, I didn't. I'm sorry, Vera. I thought I sent it to both of you. I thought I had a group chat going in. I don't know how to work this goddamn
thing. Okay, I just got it now.
How do I get a group chat? I thought I had a group fucking chat.
What?
Anyway, whatever.
He looks like he's got a bloody pee-pee.
But it's huge bloody pee-pee. Anyway... I wanted to read a comment relevant to this program that was on my Facebook earlier, yesterday, I believe. No, it was this morning at 8:30 in the morning.
Yesterday.
Heath Luckenbill writes, "Hey, I love Eat This Hot Show. You talk about Cheryl, and I have to know if Cheryl is a real person or not. I can't seem to tell by the program. I wrote back, of course Cheryl is a real person. She only sounds like a lizard. He writes back, the way you ladies talk about her on the show, sometimes I thought she was imaginary, lol. Thoughts? Like, that's really a point of conversation.
It is. Oh, it's great. It's a deep subject.
Real. Yeah, real is a relevant term.
Real.
Like, in the flesh?
Ew. In the lapse.
In the lapse.
I would very much like to meet Cheryl in person. I would very much like that one day.
Well, you'd have to, you know.
You can actually carry her around in, like, you know, those carry-ons that they the rich women carry their little doggies in.
She's a wispy. She's a wispy gal, is she? Yeah.
Well, she won't see anyone that doesn't bathe in waterless hand sanitizer, Purell, before seeing her, because she's very germophobic. And now after the chemo, it's 10 times worse.
Aren't most Jews germophobic?
Oh my God! You did the best segue in the world.
Oh,
there's
why?
This story. There's this horrible story that I just read. My God, where the fuck? What the fuck happened to my goddamn shit?
Can I get rid of the bullfighter now?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a huge anti-Semitic thing that happened. In Austria. I thought I starred the news story and I didn't, so I'm doing it from memory, which is a travesty in itself. But there was a sort of a memorial for this particular concentration camp in Austria, so they had all these survivors there, and these people came and protested it, and then they wrote things like, go get gassed more, you Jews. It was like really like total neo-Nazi. Why is my fucking phone ringing?
I turned your phone off.
I wasn't going to say
God
anything.
Damn it.
Again.
It's in the other fucking room. I'm sorry. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Oh, there, you're kidding me. You're going into the other room to answer your phone.
You can edit this out if you want. I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to shut it the fuck off because it's driving me Christing motherfucking crazy.
I leave every... I don't edit.
She's
going to
call 8 times. Goodness before I pick up.
Gracious.
I hate people. This is why phones should all be in the toilet. Oh, sorry.
Okay. So how are you,
Vera?
Wanda?
Oh, I'm very good. And stuff.
Yeah.
I had a good weekend.
What'd you do?
I had lots of hot butt sex.
Oh.
And ate fried chicken. No, I'm kidding.
Well, what are you kidding
really
about?
Do much of it. Huh?
Hi. Okay.
We were talking about Wanda's hot butt sex.
We were?
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh, good.
Okay. My alleged hot butt sex.
That was actually my friend Irina Slutsky, which is a clever segue to something good.
You got segues coming out your whore hole today, don't you, doll?
I can't talk about good things. I wish I could talk more about the Holocaust thing, but I fucking somehow didn't check the story the way I thought I did, meaning check it like a check mark.
The world will always hate Jews. The world will always hate black people. And the world, well, I should say America. The idiots in America will always hate Jews. The idiots in America will always hate black people. And the idiots in America will always hate queers. It's just the way it is.
And a black man will never be president.
I know. And I ate those words, didn't I? Didn't I eat those words with dressing all over them?
That's true.
Yeah, well, I thought those are the happiest words I've ever eaten, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, God.
So what was the segue, darling?
There's a million of them. The Pope said something retarded.
Well, that's not surprising.
God, where is it? He was basically somebody close to him was accused. You know, here it is. Vatican's astonishing U-turn over the Pope's Hitler Youth background. The Vatican was forced to defend the Pope today from a growing... from a growing chorus of Israeli critics who accused the German-born Benedict, the whatever number that is in English, of failing to express enough remorse for the Holocaust. So they said that, some Pope spokesperson idiot said he was never a member of Hitler Youth. But he actually, when he became Pope, he admitted he was a member of Hitler Youth. And somebody was quoted as saying, one of the people close to him, I guess it was anonymous, said, oh, no, the Pope Benedict hates Muslims and Jews equally.
Oh, that's nice.
And he's at the Wailing Wall. Well,
he's been seen as, like, you know, whereas the last pope at least was seen as a friend of, you know, as much as a friend, you know, a pope can be a friend of Jews and Muslims, but right. far more friendly, perhaps. I was listening to a story about this on NPR last week, whereas this current pope is just seen as very, what's the word? Very
douchey.
Douchey to the pope or to the Jews and the Muslims. From an intellectual perspective, I mean, you know, he's done, I mean, this is based on his writings and his work, not just, right. you know, things what he is, said.
Yeah. Here it is. The official Vatican God damn this motherfucking shit. The official Vatican spokesman said on Tuesday that the German-born Pope Benedict was never a member of the Hitler Youth, contradicting quotes from the Pope himself that have been aired again during his visit to Israel. Let's see. Where's that funny quote, though? Let's see. German journalist Peter Seewald, the then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, said, however, that he was automatically enrolled in the Hitler Youth. If you want my opinion, the Pope hates Muslims and Jews equally. So that's from the German journalist, I guess. So that's nice.
Yeah.
That's well, and his nice. Name is Ratzinger. I mean, he just sounds like a bad guy. He looks like, doesn't he just look... like a meanie.
He looks like an evil Miss Dr. Evil or a Mr. Burns or something. He looks horrible. Horrible. Oh, God. Let's see. So the thing is, I wanted to say that I'm starting to do editing for this. It's a little job. I'm doing editing for Irina Slutsky. It's Slutsky, but I like saying Slutsky, who has this wonderful program called Geek Entertainment Television, where she interviews all these famous tech people and mm-hmm. So I'm editing the show for her, and I'm making fun of people. So you can go to geekentertainmenttelevision.tv, I think. Just Google it.
And what does the editing entail?
Well, fingering my hole, mostly. Well, it's just like right now the project I'm working on is called Tech Cab Confessions. And if you've ever... Have you seen that show, Taxi Cab Confessions,
yes.
on HBO?
Yes, I have. Well,
it's basically a parody of that, but with all the famous tech people. So she gets like the head of Dig or whatever, or these, you know, all these people from, you know, the Twitter people, whoever the fuck these people are. I really don't even know them, but, you know, I don't even know the names from Methuselah. But, you know, she gets them in the cab and she asks them to confess things that they did. And like one of them talks about how he changed somebody's Wikipedia entry because he didn't like the guy. You know, just stuff like that.
I see. Wow.
So it's just a little thing. It's fun. Anyway, that was very self-serving.
We never do that on this program.
No. Now, Vera, let's talk about your trip to Tackyville in a tacky vehicle.
It was really fun. Of course, we lost our asses gambling, which wasn't fun. but the trip was...
What? I wasn't making fun of you. I was just...
I thought it was a... I don't know.
Well, it was.
Okay, that's what I thought. Anyway, we had a great time. We got our tires fixed on the motorhome because we needed new tires, and then we set off for a week long adventure for my birthday. Thank you for my birthday wishes to both of you. And we were in we stayed at a place called the Oasis RV Resort. And we rented a car.
Yeah, by the way, I was very grateful that you shamed me for not wishing you happy birthday wishes sooner. Just coming in the midst of my father's death.
I don't remember doing that, but I'm very sorry.
Real classy.
Yeah,
did
well.
We're planning a funeral. Well, no, remember that day that we were going to record? There was an email back and forth.
Yes, I do.
And I was like, pardon me, but I'm planning some death right now.
Right, and I did not chastise you for not wishing me a happy birthday. What I said was I had mentioned that I will be away, but people have more important things on their mind is how I put it. So, so there.
And I don't remember you saying that, by the way.
What's that?
I'm sure you did.
Now you're going to make me dig up the email, but it's okay. I'm just being silly.
So that must have been horrible, huh?
What's the
death?
It's like the trip.
Yeah. Like, which is worse, having to go to Las Vegas in an RV or having your father pass?
Well, I know, Vera, why don't you just continue to tell your story, and then we'll talk about death.
You know, okay. A lot of people, you know, I can really understand why the RV thing isn't for everybody, but I think also a lot of people really have never experienced it, so they don't. You can't.
Oh, again with the cruise, now the RV. It's the same story. Go ahead.
Well, it is. How can you knock something that you've never done?
Because it's fun. I would love to do it. I'm just jealous.
Well, okay. Well, that's very sweet. But I wasn't even talking about you. I was talking about, in general, when you mention RV to people, what they imagine in their mind is, you know, overweight hillbillies with a broken down trailer.
Well, they're not all hillbillies.
No, I'm not a hillbilly. I am overweight, right. But I'm not a hillbilly. Okay, but sure. And also, you know, what I love about the RV, and then I will not go any further. What I love about the RV is it's our own bed, our own bathroom, our own shower. It's our place, you know, and it's a beautiful. This RV is not super high end, incredibly elegant. But
no,
it's
it was
beautiful.
Only $150,000.
It wasn't. It was not. And it was. It's beautiful inside, you know, and it's like taking a very nice, pretty, little tiny house with you wherever you go. And Gooch and I have not been to Vegas in well over 5 years, and we all, and for a lot of reasons, and I just thought for my birthday, you know, what the hell, let's spend money we don't have and go go to Vegas. And so that's what we did, and it was
Here's
really
what
wonderful.
I don't understand.
Okay, what, honey?
How do you spend money you don't have? I can't do that.
You
how
don't
do
have
do
plastic
that? Oh, that's how you do it.
Uh-huh.
No, I have no credit cards.
Well, that's how you spend money you do not have, is you charge things.
Cracked cranium. $10 copay.
Aye, aye. Aye, aye. Aye, aye.
Bruised cornea. $10 copay.
Okay.
Dislocated jaw. Fractured wrist. Mild concussion. $10 copay. No hurt feelings.
I'm poisoned.
Priceless. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard, accepted by optometrists, neurologists, and orthopedists.
Let's not talk. No. Let's not go into accounting land.
All right. Never go to accounting land.
I
ever.
Certainly don't want to.
Okay. But anyway, you just...
It was a wonderful time. You lost money. How much did you lose between the two of you?
I'm not going to tell you how much money we lost.
Oh, it's a lot. Though,
no, it's not. It isn't. No, it's just
well, for
that.
Her, it's not
was
a lot.
Was it $100,000?
Oh, good Christing hell. We only gambled $1,000. That's it. We lost. We got up to $1,000 and stopped. So it was $1,000.
Gosh, yeah. Wanda, I could have done something with that $1,000. What about
Me
you?
Me too. I could have, you know, got
It was
like a
my birthday fix. Present.
It could have been mine.
Well,
hey, my dad died. Oh, I could have done something happy with
Bryce. She could have brought him back to life.
Oh, man.
I could have bought him a nice headstone.
Oh, my God.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
We could have put him something other than a Tupperware box.
Oh, Jesus.
Oy, oy, oy.
It was a big birthday celebration, and so we did things that we shouldn't and spent money that we shouldn't. And anyway, I don't care how sick this will make you. What makes me the happiest is being confined with my husband and not having any cares or troubles and just being together. It's phenomenally wonderful, and every chance, every second we can do that. We got to do it for a full week. It was fantastic.
That is nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to talk about something personal that works my nerves that I would normally not bring up.
Okay.
So this person who I dated for 2 months, Clarissa, you might recall she dumped me.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Well, she texts me, and we're still going to talk about death because this is a step
good.
In that direction.
Good, I'm glad. Yeah.
We'll be able to segue back to death.
Yeah, this goes there.
Okay.
Because time wounds all heals. The thing is, okay, so I got a text message from Clarissa on Saturday, just as I'm entering my yoga class at around noon, and she says, can you come to my house at 1 p.m.? I text back, no, actually, I'm going to yoga, and then I'm busy for the rest of the day. I have to study some things, and is everything okay? Because I thought, well, that's weird. The last time somebody asked me to come over, a specific yeah. time they had tried to kill themselves. She writes back, no, I just wanted to have sex. Then it gets better. Then 2 seconds later, literally, well, maybe not 2 seconds, but within the span of a minute or two, she sends me another text message. Madge, do you like Filipino women?
Okay.
She was trying to set up a three-way?
Well, that's what my friends seem to think. And I'm thinking she actually wants to make it known that she's not wanting to date me again. She just wants to have sex. So she's still trying to play Yenta the matchmaker for me. So she's having sex. She wants to, because I didn't do it. She wants to have sex with me and find me a new girlfriend at the same time. Is that fucked up, or is it just my imagination?
Well, to me, it's fucked up.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I have to add, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but a couple weeks ago, you know, I got these new floors. Did you know about that?
Yes. Yep.
I got these new floors, and she says, I ran into her at the coffee shop, and she said,
you
got your new floors? I said, yes.
Showed the new floors to?
I showed her the new floors, and we accidentally... got her done. But that was before this.
You wouldn't
that was
tell us
before.
Who that was.
Oh, you, I didn't know I even told you.
You said sex with somebody, and you said, and I said who, and you said, I'm not telling. So now you just fessed up, baby.
Well, see, that's when I got that urge to say it, I knew I shouldn't have said it, but there it is.
So basically, you're sending her mixed signals.
Well, I had already told her because she was trying to do that before. I said, look, I don't do lesbian fuck buddies. Because I said, look, you know, I don't want to. We had this conversation when she took me out for my birthday. It's all very weird.
Yeah.
You know, but this thing is, it's very twisted because while sex is fine, it's like I really have a hard time.
I'm just a girl who can't say no. I'm in a terrible fix. I always say, come on, let's go, just when I ought to say next.
Separating the emotion from the sex, even though I'm quite capable of doing it, it feels very wrong.
Well, it's because you already have an emotional investment in this lady,
right? You can't
stop that.
You can't put the sausage back in the in the
casing
or whatever.
Oh, that's really a wonderfully appropriate analogy for
especially with the swine flu.
Yeah, with that. Well, that's a whole nother business. The swine flu.
Uh huh.
You know.
Well, I don't think.
What do you think I should do?
Ignore this sob.
Yeah,
D.O.B., daughter of a bitch.
Just need to say no is no means no and not give her any reason to think otherwise.
But the sex wasn't bad.
Well, then you got to make up your fucking mind, bitch, because
right.
I don't know what you want.
I know what I want.
No, you don't, or you'd be doing it.
You're right. The thing is, like, I'm in the place where I don't really want her anymore, but I don't have anything else.
Oh, that is the worst place to be.
And I think...
I'm just a girl who can't say no. I'm in a terrible fix. I always say, come on, let's go, just when I ought to say next.
She's in the exact same place. And in fact, she sent me another text message today. She said, Madge, because I usually see her at the 9:15 yoga class. She said, Madge, I'm sorry I missed yoga this morning. Well, this one I still have on my machine, so let me just read it to you. I always make this show about me. She writes, hey, sorry I haven't been
it's
able
hard
to
stop a train.
Sorry I haven't called you. I won't be able to go to yoga this morning. It is class today. I'm reading it verbatim. It is class today at 7:30 p.m. I wrote back, no, but there is a class at 6:30 p.m. She writes back, so are you going to that one? Well, I already went to yoga today. I said, I only do one yoga class a day. Now this is the problem here. She thinks I'm going to be at her beck and call. I'm going to go to two yoga classes in a day just so I can fuck this leftover piece of meat.
Yeah, well, if you say that, then you got to not give her any, come see my floors, lady.
Well, I was innocent. I wanted to show my pretty boys.
Oh, get over yourself.
Well, they're pretty. And,
Yeah, nice try.
Well, the paint job.
And because they're brand new, you can only walk on them naked.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, these floors are real good if you get your lips on them.
Just put your suction lips over that hole.
No, you need to cease and desist.
Oh.
I agree 100%.
Okay. I appreciate the advice.
And the reason being, and I have nothing against fuck buddies at all. If you could have a fuck buddy, that's fantastic. But yeah. you cannot, once you've emotionally invested in someone, it is impossible to reverse that.
You think so?
Unless it dies by itself, like if you really fall for
someone. But you're not dead inside like me, though.
Oh, honey, you know what?
No, go ahead. I'm just being facetious. Go ahead with your thought.
Okay. No, I was going to be facetious back.
Okay.
If you are not the one that has ended the relationship, but someone else has ended it on you, you still are emotionally invested in that person. And there isn't any way at all to just have a casual relation. It's like, oh, can we still be friends? You know, and you end up being friends with that person, but all the time you're hoping for something more, and that other person is getting whatever they want and having enough of.
But this, don't you find it, though, with gay people, and Wanda would probably know better than Vera because Wanda's still out in the fields, but don't you find that there's an awful lot of people that who have friends that became friends because they first had sex?
Sex is different than emotion.
Yeah, but then I think the sex probably ended, don't you think?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because I think that's the case. I think that happens a lot. People have sex and then, you know, for whatever reason they move on or they're not interested or just the dynamic changes, you know. I think that's true, but what I'm saying is you can't go backwards. So if you really like someone more than friends, and then all of a sudden, you end it, the sex is just one of you is going to be fucked, literally and figuratively.
All right, I'm bored with this topic. Now, I wanted to mention something that, and we can discuss this. This is very relevant to this show, believe it or not. That's a story. I have a friend who works for the American Medical Association. She told me about this story that she's been trying to get publicized, and none of the media has grabbed it, but it's very interesting. I'll just read what it says in the AMA's newsletter from last Friday. May 12th is an international day of action in support of two Iranian physicians, Kamir Ali and his brother Arash Ali, who have developed innovative programs for preventing and treating HIV in Iran. The Iranian government charged the physicians last year with cooperating with an enemy government and then tried and sentenced them to prison in January. The AMA recently shared its concerns regarding these unjustly imprisoned physicians with the State Department in a letter to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. The AMA strongly urged that discussions of human rights, justice, and respect for the medical profession and the Ali brothers specifically must be part of any open dialogue with Iran. So these guys is what is being inferred here, and this is what my friend said, is that basically the reason they're being imprisoned is because of treating HIV, basically. So, and nobody seems to care.
Well, I don't know that I'm not surprised, I guess.
Yeah, and it's so not, it isn't that I don't care. I was absorbing
it, first
of all.
No, I don't mean you, I meant the media.
Oh well, that doesn't surprise me a bit.
But even Democracy Now, I sent this to Democracy Now, and I thought for sure they'll talk about it. They didn't.
Well, you know,
I think
what?
Iran is funny because, like, people are weird about Iran because it's a very, because on one hand, like, I think liberals are afraid to say anything bad about Iran because then it sort of implies that we're, you know, you're, you know, along with the warmongers who want to blow the place up. But then on the other hand, you got to tell what's really going on.
Well, you know,
the fact that they imprison physicians and they're doing horrible things doesn't justify blowing up the country.
Yeah.
But we have to do something.
Well, I think it's the methods by which you change what's going on or the way that you go about bringing about change that's different. Whereas liberals would probably, I would assume, be more in favor of doing things from, you know, the bottom up, whereas, you know, the right wing would probably prefer to just knock it off at the head and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Destroy the government, whereas people on the left would probably prefer to empower individuals to change their government.
Well, that ain't going to happen there.
Right.
And also, well, you know, you brought up a really interesting point, Madge, in that you said we have to do something. And I always question how much we should get involved in other people's business. I don't have an answer to it. I'm just questioning when do we step in? And this is something that has been on my mind a lot about, like, if when we were kids, if you saw a bully picking on somebody and you could intervene and stop it, that would be the right thing to do. It puts you in a position of vulnerability, but it's the right thing to do. And it's kind of what the concept of our country was built on, that we get involved in circumstances like this as we would on a schoolyard, protecting some innocence from being, you know, bullied and burdened. But I'm wondering when is it right to step in, and how much do we step in?
Well, there's no clear line. I mean, there's no way you can clearly draw lines and make rules about that. But I think you kind of, like, it's one of those things. It's like, what is pornography? You know it when you see it, you know?
Right. But what I'm thinking about, especially with these two doctors, and unfortunately this is multi-layered, because if they indeed have some really valuable HIV prevention or cure or whatever, that's another topic altogether, that this information needs to be shared with the world. But once again, you're talking about two doctors being imprisoned for their beliefs in a country. Well, I don't know that we belong in that. I don't know that that's any of our business to get involved or not, because it is a repressive, horrible government in a repressive, horrible country, and these are just two more people that are being repressed horribly. So I wonder why we should, if we step in for them, we should step in for every single one, and I don't know that we necessarily need to be doing this anymore. Because that was the concept suddenly of Iraq, is that, no, we weren't looking for WMDs anymore. Now we're bringing democracy to the benighted countries of the world.
I don't think it's all or nothing. I think, you know, wherever there is a will for the American people to do something and get involved in other countries, you know, politics, then we're going to do it. Now, I would prefer that more people make it known to their politicians when they want to get involved. And yeah, I would prefer that we have more a decision over when that happens. But frankly, it all typically is going to boil down to, you know, strategic relationships, economic relationships. I mean, that's why you have the United States bending over and not holding China accountable for human rights abuses,
right?
Because we're completely inexorably linked and joined at the hip, and if we were to hold them accountable, our economy would plummet so fast that.
And I think the other point is that, you know, we are a representative form of democracy, and what that means is, we don't decide these things as a country. I mean, the fact of the matter is, two individuals being imprisoned for, you know, basically treating HIV patients, which is a very homophobic thing, assuming that I'm inferring what's going on correctly. And there are people that are upset about it and want these people freed. The people in the government who have the power to put pressure on Iran represent us. So if the people, enough people who they represent, say, hey, you represent me and I want you to do this to get this person out of danger, then they will. If there's enough pressure, I think there's a possibility that they'll do it. And a lot of people have been freed and all kinds of situations, hostage situations, because of this, because people put pressure on the government, because that's the kind of democracy we have. So I don't know that these sort of ethical questions you're posing are really all that relevant, because it's really about, you know, like, I don't know. It's kind of like, if there's something wrong, it's kind of like, okay, if if my property taxes were doubled, I have to have a recourse. So I have a recourse. And, you know, these people, you know, as citizens, we have a recourse and we have a way to say, hey, we want these people freed, government. You got to do what we want. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. I
however, I'm bypassing the philosophical question.
Okay.
Because I don't know that it's really applicable here. Because there are no big rules.
But don't you think any interaction with these kinds of governments, those questions have to come up by virtue of the fact that we're dealing with...
Well, I think they already have. I mean, and the fact of the matter is there's no rules. So sometimes we get involved, sometimes we don't. It's not clear when we do and when we don't.
Okay.
But it is pretty clear that if people put enough pressure on the government, the right special interest groups and whatnot, then something may happen.
Right. I agree.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's just like, it's cynical. It's cynical what I'm thinking, but it's just kind of the way it is. Like, if you don't like something, the people who yell loudest are going to get it what they want. I mean, that's how our government works.
Yep.
Why do you think we have such a problem with healthcare?
You know? Right. So all I'm saying is,
Give peace a chance. All I'm saying is
spread your lips. I mean, the word.
Well, I mean, really, like, if we were going to go on, to me, the way the United States handled the crackdown in Tiananmen Square in the late, it was early 90s, wasn't it?
Right.
Like 93, I think, or 94.
I don't know.
Anyway,
something like that.
The way that the first Bush administration responded to that whole thing was just, I mean, that to me told me that, you know, economics has far more to do with our foreign policy decisions than, you know, some sort of notion of American democracy or morals.
Right.
Yep. Right or wrong.
Economy has to do with every decision, frankly.
And I think also when you talk about these things, we're a lot more likely to intervene if the people involved are Americans. Like this journalist, Roxana Saberi, coincidentally was released from jail today, but she was American.
Yeah.
So in the case where it's American, I think it's pretty clear. You know, we do have an obligation. But I don't know. I've never really been into all these sort of, you know, I've felt that all this nationalism and these geopolitical lines, they just kind of are fake. I think with the internet anymore, and this is why Al-Qaeda has always had such an advantage over us, is because they get it. It's not about nations, it's about networks. And, you know, we're all citizens of the same little tiny blue fucking planet. So, whatever.
Well, we are all citizens of the same blue planet, but the fact of the matter is that most of these people believe that they should be the only citizens. You know, you've got the radical Muslims that are believing that the rest of the world should be either Muslim or destroyed, you know, and that's not just them, you know, in the heart of hearts. I mean, in our own country, you know, when we talk about homophobia, they don't just wish that we weren't gay. They wish that we didn't exist. They want their world the way they want their world. They want this planet to be inhabited by their kind of people. The people.
Yeah, but those are the extremists.
I don't think so.
I think the truth is, though, that it is, I don't know. My opinion is that it is the extremists, and politicians and people in power will use them accordingly if it will get them what they want. Because even in Iran, there is this, I bet you, if you ask the average American what the average Iranian thought of Americans, they would think that you had this, you know, hate-filled country of, you know, radical Muslims ready to blow us all to smithereens, when the truth is that, you know, the average Iranian is just like the average American. They don't really give a shit.
And they like our culture, and they emulate our culture, and they wear our jeans, and they do what, it, you know.
And even when they don't, they just want to be left alone and live their own life, and they'd prefer not to have Ahmadinejad running around being a riri.
Right. And the fact of the matter is Ahmadinejad, or whatever the fuck you pronounce it, is not the head of Iran. He's not. He is a relatively not so powerful guy that the media loves because he says all this outrageous shit. So I think you have to look at how the message is being obscured by the media and what their agenda is at the same time, which is probably just financial. You know, hello?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Meow. So we didn't get to talk about death, but I'll save that for next week's program.
Oh. You just cheated. Well, you didn't cheat death, but you cheated talking about it.
I did.
I saw the new Star Wars. It was real good.
It's
was
the it new good? I'm going to go see that.
It's the new Star Trek, and I saw it too.
I'm sorry, Star Trek.
I never, ever go to... We never go to movies, and we went.
I didn't go. I downloaded it illegally.
Oh, my God. Well, you
hey,
can't...
can you do me a favor, Madge Weinstein?
What?
If not, I mean, I'm not advocating you would ever do this, but if you were to ever download something illegally, I'm trying to get a hold of that new documentary, Outrage, but it's not playing in Minneapolis until like July or August.
What's it about? I haven't heard of it.
It looks so good. It's about and it's been in the news because his name is Kirby Dick.
Kirby Dick?
Not Kirby.
Oh, okay.
And he talks about all of these attempts to out gay politicians, Republican gay politicians. Uh-huh. And he outs people like Florida Governor Charlie Crist, and he outs Ed Koch, and he outs all these people. And he's got all this, these accounts, and he basically just wants to show the two-faced nature of these politicians who fight on the one hand against gay rights, but are clearly... having sex with...
Chris just announced today that he's running for Senate.
I know, which is why this has become more exciting. Anyway, so this documentary explores those two things, but the story that I reported on Big Gay News today was that NPR, our lovely liberal... NPR, they censored the names of the politicians named in this film. They're the only news organization,
to my
knowledge, to do this, because they said that there was no use... Or that their policy is to not produce the names of people when allegations are what was the word? I don't have it in front of me. But
they
basically
just
saying,
get sued.
But everybody else published the names, and they redacted the names from the review. And now the guy who wrote the film review is gay, and he asked them to remove his byline, then left a comment saying, "I wholly disapprove of this. This is not."
Wait, the guy that reviewed it, where?
The guy that reviewed it for NPR had the article posted online.
So the byline on the printed thing. Okay.
Yep, NPR took out the names, and then they removed his comment from the website.
Oh, that's freaky. So there's some weird shit going on. They're just going to draw. They're going to get more people to see the movie. Is it outraged with a D or no?
No, just outrage.
Well, I don't see it in my source list.
Sorry. If you find it for me, could you please maybe
not give it to you?
Not, please not. Thank you.
I certainly won't.
I actually have to go, ladies.
Okay.
I can let you two talk if you'd like to continue.
We're done. Got her done. I don't have to do this for several more weeks. Yippee-yay. I mean, host. So thank you, everyone, for being listening to this show. Ugh. Please listen to it again if you're an idiot.
God.
I don't know what to say. Say goodbye, Wanda.
Goodbye.
Of WandaWisdom.com, and say goodbye, Auntie Vera of VeraSpeaks.com.
Goodbye, my darlings. I love the way you ladies and gentlemen say auntie. Is it only the West Coast that's auntie?
No, I say auntie too, but I just had this conversation with some numbskull the other day trying to say aunt. I'm like, it ain't no aunt. What are you trying to be?
Okay.
Well, aunt, I think auntie. Would you say aunt?
No, I grew up with aunt. You were my aunt.
I did too, but I just like the way auntie sounds because it's really just for you. I'm saying auntie because it's you.
Oh, well, thank you for that, darling.
She's
because
saying
you are an auntie. My auntie. Aunt Mary was an auntie. Not even an E. She was just an aunt. You're an auntie because you're ridiculous.
Thank
She's
you.
She's an auntie with a jaunty cat.
Right. I'm Madge Weinstein of YeastRadio.com. I'm a lesbian with food allergies and mostly yeast infections. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
I'm sorry. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back. Burb.